27. Acts chapter number 27. And I went home this evening. I was praying for the service and praying for the Lord's will and direction. And I feel like God wants me to preach a message tonight that I don't have a specific outline. I just want to go verse by verse tonight and say, make a few comments. But I feel like the Lord laid this message on my heart specifically for our church. And, you know, as a pastor, part of the responsibility of being a pastor is I'm going to say the right things. I won't say anything I shouldn't say. But you're to be that watchman. And doesn't mean you know everything. You don't know the will of God about everything neither. But you're to be that watchman. And sometimes being a watchman, just you don't always know why God lays things on your heart, but you know that He laid it on your heart. And the Lord, I went home this evening, my heart was so troubled concerning this church and just what to preach. I felt a heavy burden. And I asked the Lord, so heavy that I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to preach. And the Lord just directed my thoughts to this passage, and so I want you to pray with me and for me. I'm just going to have a word of prayer. I do have a text, but I don't want to read the passage. I just want to simply go through it tonight and talk about some things or preach about some things that's on my heart. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for being merciful to us today. I want to thank you for your grace, and I want to thank you for your presence that abides in this place, Lord, for just sitting down amongst us tonight. Lord, we could never have church without you. And Lord, there would be no point, God, without your help and your presence. We thank you tonight for blessing us. We ask you, Lord, to help us now in the Word of God. I pray that you will overtake this message and that you'll give me the liberty, the wisdom, and the words and the vocabulary that I need to speak tonight. May I say only the things that would please you and edify the church. God, I pray for the Spirit of God to do that eternal work in the heart of every individual that no man can do. Give us all, I pray, as individuals, clear direction for our life and from your word, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject that I don't think I've ever preached on. I've preached many times about the will of God, but I want to preach tonight on this subject on missing the will of God. Missing the will of God. And tonight may just be prevented medicine for some, and it may be solemn warnings to others. I don't know tonight. Only thing I know is God laid this on my heart, and I'm the messenger. Amen. I'm not the one that writes the message, just the one that delivers it. But I preached a lot of times about the will of God and heard a lot of preaching on it. I'm sure you have too, and you preachers have preached on it many times. And I've heard preaching on how to find the will of God and how to follow the will of God, how to finish the will of God, but never, Brother Ernie, if I really ever preached, and I'm sure somebody has preached on missing the will of God. And you know, tonight it's a serious thing to miss the will of God. You know, I want to make this statement, beginning of this message, that I shamefully say this, would not say it had the Lord not impressed it upon my heart to say it, but I have missed the will of God in my life before. And I'm sure that many people here tonight could testify the same, that there has been times that I have missed God's will. There's been times I've missed God's will for my personal life. There's been times I've missed it in the ministry. There's been times, few times, I want to say this, concerning this church, but there has been times concerning this church that I have prayed and sought the Lord, sometimes not sought the Lord like I should have or as earnest as I could have, and I have missed the will of God. I want to say something tonight. You say, well, now, preacher, I would not say that. Well, I don't enjoy saying that. I'll tell you that much. But part of preaching the message is saying all that God would have you to say. And the Lord said, I want you to say that tonight because I want you to understand that every individual that serves God long enough will sometime or another miss the will of God. And we don't want to miss His will. I don't want to miss the Lord's will. Sometimes it's been in ignorance and sometimes it's been in rebellion. I'll say that when God said, don't do this, but I went ahead and I did that anyway. And if you serve God any length of time, I'm sure you can testify to the same things tonight. But here in this passage of Scripture, you find where some men miss the will of God for their life. And I want to go to it in just a moment, but I want to say this first of all about the will of God. When you're in the will of God, I want you to note this tonight, that whenever you say, well, preacher, how do you know if you're in the will of God or not? Well, I want to say tonight, the will of God is not difficult. Amen? I mean, the will of God is just like us having children tonight. I have two girls, and both of them, it is my desire that they know my will for their life. Amen? I mean, there's certain things that I require of them. There's certain things that I expect them to do just as my father expected out of me. And that's the way it is with all parents. And you know what? I don't hide that from them. I try to make it very clear and very simple so they can understand what my will is for their life. Amen? And that's the way it is. If it doesn't matter if that child is 2 years of age or if they're 12 years of age. Whenever we're talking to our children, we always get down to the level that they're on, don't we? Where they can fully understand and comprehend what our will as parents is for their life. Well, I want to say tonight, God is no different. Amen? I get kind of frustrated with preachers and with people that try to make the will of God mystical and try to make the will of God sensational in the fact that you've just got to be at a certain place at a certain time to find the will of God. You won't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. Amen? Friend, the will of God, let me say, is always plain. Amen? Now, it may take some time to find the will of God, and you may have to just be on the shelf waiting for a little while in order for God to reveal His will. But I want to say to you tonight that God, in this Bible, when you read this Bible, God always made His will plain to His people. Is that not true? When God called them out of Egypt, He made that plain and simple. He told them where He wanted them to go. When they got to the wilderness, He wanted them to go into Canaan. God never tried to play games with Israel. He never tried to confuse them. When Jesus came to this walk of life and He began His ministry, and He come by Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, the Bible said that He called Him out and says, I want you to come with me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now, Jesus made that will plain for Matthew's life. Isn't that right? And listen, when he saw Paul on the road to Damascus, he spoke plainly to Paul. And Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know what the Lord told him? He told him exactly the place He wanted him to go to, and He would give him orders when he got there. I want to say tonight, the will of God is always plain. Amen? God, it's not God's will that you be confused about anything in your life. He will always give direction and discernment if we're patient enough to wait on Him. And then I want to say tonight that the will of God is peaceful. Amen? The will of God is peaceful. Now listen, it may not always be easy, but it will be peaceful. Amen? You say, what do you mean, Brother Rick? Well, I've seen people surrender to go to Africa. I've seen them surrender, and you have too, to go to China and to go to Russia and know that they were in danger in their lives and hazarding their lives for the cause of Christ. And I must be honest with you tonight. I don't have any peace about packing my bags and going to Africa. I don't have any peace about going to behind the Iron Curtain tonight. But I've met people that God has called them to go to them places and has put a peace in their heart and assurance in their life that you could not shake them on, and they are just as happy tonight in Africa as what we are in America. Amen. The will of God is always peaceful. Then I'll say tonight, the will of God is always productive. When God calls you out and puts you in something, it always brings forth fruit, doesn't it? You see, man, we have to be careful as individuals. When we're in the will of God and doing the will of God and there's success, there's always success in doing the will of God. Do you understand that tonight? I mean, if you listen, it doesn't matter if God gives you a good job and blesses you and puts you on that job and that's His will for your life, then God to a certain extent is going to bless the fruit of your hands and the fruit of your labor. In other words, He's going to allow you to do things that you would not normally be able to do within yourself. He's going to bless you for your efforts, and we have to be careful when God blesses us in His will. A man is so wicked, I mean we all are, that we want to take credit within ourselves, or we want to pride within ourselves that we have gained some accomplishment or done anything. I'll be honest with you, sometimes people say nice things, and I appreciate everything that people say, and I'm not by no means saying everybody needs encouragement. I understand that, and it's good to hear people say good things, but you know, oftentimes the Spirit of God reminds me that when you receive a compliment, you have to let that thing go in one ear and come out the other. Isn't that right? But you cannot harbor those things in your heart, because eventually you'll start thinking higher of yourself. Is that not true tonight? And I tell you, I don't care who you are in this building tonight, we're all made of the same flesh. And the Bible said, if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, and the truth is not in him. But the will of God is productive. If you're in the will of God, it'll bring fruit. Amen. Amen. You know, I believe that's why tonight I thought about, I know a preacher that surrendered to a certain field of service, And has been in that service for years now and has yet to do the first thing that is required of that service. You say, what do you think about that, Brother Rick? Well, I'm no authority for his life, but I don't think it's the will of God, if you want to know the truth about it. The will of God's productive. The will of God brings forth fruit. The will of God, let me say tonight, is not all, it's proven, amen? You say, what do you mean the will of God is proven? Well, I mean this, God will always take care of you when you're in His will. You know that? I don't care where the circumstances, I don't care what place you're in, I don't care how many odds are stacked against you. If you're in the will of God tonight, you can rest assured on one thing, and that is that God is always going to take care of you. God is always going to supply your needs. I don't care if that's a financial need, if that's a physical need, or if that's a spiritual need. When you're in the will of God, I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. I'm not telling you if you're in the will of God, you're going to prosper and have a whole lot of luxuries down here. Listen, you may have quite the opposite of that. But Paul was in the will of God in a prison cell in Philippians chapter number 4. And it was from that prison cell that Paul said this, "But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory." Paul never tried to get rich and Paul never tried to abound in wealth. But Paul had a blessed assurance that no matter where he was at in this walk of life, God was going to take care of him because he was in His will. The will of God is proven. And then I'll say this, the will of God's pleasant. You will enjoy the will of God. You know that? I mean, tonight, look, if God was to say, go to Africa, I could not see how anybody tonight could leave American soil. I'm talking about through logic. I'm not talking about through the eye of faith. But tonight, when you start adding up the conditions and start adding up the convenience and all kinds of things of that nature, listen, there is nothing in any other country in this world that would make me want to leave American soil and go and live there tonight. I mean, listen, tonight, I love America, don't you? I thank God for this country. I thank God for the convenience of it. I know we have it too convenient, but I thank God for our freedom. I appreciate what God has done in America tonight, and I thank God that I was born in America. Amen. Amen. And there's no reason why, logically thinking, that I could see myself happy in any other country in the world outside one thing, the will of God tonight. Brother, I'm telling you, listen, I've seen people run from the will of God, and you have too. And listen, God be calling them to some foreign country. God be calling them to some different nation to preach the gospel. And listen, while they're living in America with all the modern convenience and everything else, the will of God would have them somewhere else in this world. And they could not be happy no matter how many conveniences they had, no matter how much of blessedness they had in America. They could not be happy because they're not in the will of God. Isn't that true tonight? You see, the will of God is pleasant. And I've met people that are burdened down tonight. I've met people that are trying to figure out and confused about the will of God. I want to say this. Listen, if you're always having to convince yourself that you're in the will of God, then with all probability, you're not in the will of God. You see, when God puts you in His will, you don't have to convince yourself. In fact, when you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter what the whole world thinks about you. Everybody else can say you're out of the will of God. The will of God, there's such a peace when you're in the will of God that cannot be given by man nor by circumstance, and it proves to be God's perfect will for your life. But I want to talk a few minutes tonight about missing the will of God. You see, when you miss the will of God tonight, friend, there's severe consequences. And tonight it takes great discernment to find the will of God. Many times when we talk about discernment, we think about preachers. But I want to say tonight, God wants every one of us, the Bible teaches us to have discernment of the Spirit. We're all be able to discern the will of God for our life. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you're the only person who can discern the will of God for your life. I may be your pastor tonight, but if somebody was to come up to me and say, "Preacher, I'm praying about buying an automobile, and I want to know if that's the will of God." Well, the first thing I'm going to say is, don't look at me. Amen. I don't know what God's will is for your life concerning your bills, concerning your future. Now, I could tell you this tonight, if you was to go out and to try to buy a vehicle that you could not afford, I can tell you that's not the will of God. But that's not discernment, that's just logic, amen? That's just common sense. And sometimes the advice that we give out as pastors is not that we've got great discernment about people's individual lives. It's just plain old common sense. Amen. You know, you can't put a price stamp on horse sense. Isn't that right tonight? And some people tonight just can't get it. They're thinking that God is trying to do something supernatural in their life. I want to be honest with you. God put that brain in our head for a reason, didn't he? Amen. It's not to cushion us when we fall. God put it there for us to use it whenever it comes to making decisions. You say, Brother Gravely, what do you do when you got to make a decision? Well, number one, I pray about it. Amen. Then number two, I just wait a little while. It always pays to wait. You know that. I mean, I don't care if you're walking through the store and you're thinking about buying a fishing rod, it'd do you good to wait at least a week before you buy that thing. You know that? Wait about it. Wait a little while. You say, well, how could it be wrong to buy a fishing rod? I don't know. I'm just saying it always pays to wait a little while and just really weigh some things out. 9 times out of 10, you can find the will of God for yourself if you just won't get in a hurry. You know that tonight? And I'll grant you this. I've missed the will of God many times because I got in a rush. If you've got to talk yourself into doing something, mark it down. It ain't the will of God. Say, how do you know that? Because I've done that more times than I care to. I'm saying tonight, the will of God is just, it's so simple. If we're, in number one, we pray about. Number two, we wait. And then I'll say this, number three, it never hurts to just logically think things through. Now, I understand that there's times God calls us to do things that are outside our logic. But let me say this. When it comes to making day-to-day decisions, you can't go wrong just simply. You know, some people never add things up, do they? They think because they're saved and because they go to church and now everything evolves around spirituality, and certainly that's one. Isn't it amazing, Brother Kate? People never get spiritual till they go to thinking about the will of God. Isn't that right? I mean, they hadn't read their Bible in a month, but now they're going to buy an automobile, and they say, well, you know, I'm just going to sign this dotted line by faith, and I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to use a little faith here. Well, you hadn't used it all month. Why use it now? How about some common sense? How about just logic? How about pulling a calculator out? How about just sitting there adding things up? How about looking at what you're doing and seeing, is it bringing forth? Is this thing going to help me or is this thing going to hurt me? I'm talking about missing the will of God is a very critical thing in every one of our lives. You know, let me say this about discernment. People talk about the gift of discernment. Let me tell you about the gift of discernment tonight. Discernment, I believe in the gift of discernment. As a preacher, as a pastor, I feel like God gives me the gift of discernment. But let me tell you something about discernment. Discernment never builds pride, it builds humility. When people, the guy that's always running around wanting you to know that he's got the gift of discernment don't have any discernment. Amen. Because this is what I have found out about discernment tonight. God only gives, it's like this church. God only gives me discernment when I need it, as I need it, and for what I need it for. So what do you mean by that? Well, there's things about this church, if you was to ask me, and I believe if God's going to tell anybody, he'll tell the pastor, don't you? But there's things about this church I don't know the will of God about. There's things about this church, if you was to come up and ask me, I'd just have to say, well, you know what? I really don't know right now. I can't promise you I'd know 6 months from now. I can't promise you I'd know a year from now. I'm telling you, God gives discernment only when we need it, only as we need it, and for what we need it. In other words, the gift of discernment is not for me to run up to you and say, well, here's what you need to do with your life, and here's how you need to do this and do that. God, that's not the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is for whatever you're doing, whatever His will is for your life, God will pull the scales off and show you what you need to do. You see, the day I resign this church, God will never again tell me what His will is for this church. Isn't that true?
Right.
The day I fold my Bible and God says, you're done, then God will never again give me wisdom concerning direction for this place. I believe that with all my heart tonight. Because God only gives discernment when you need it, as you need it, and for what you need it. I want to say a few words tonight about missing the will of God. In this text, these men missed the will of God. Now watch this tonight. Just, I want you to keep your Bible open. Just go through it for just a moment. Not going to be long. Just going to share a few thoughts and I'm through. I want to ask first of all this question. Why did these men miss the will of God? I want you to look at this in light of your life, and I want to look at it in light of my life. Why did these men miss the will of God? Let me say, first of all, if you look at verse number 9, now if you know the story here, Paul tells these men, don't sail because you're going to encounter danger. But they did not listen. They encounter a storm, they shipwreck, they nearly lose their lives because they missed the will of God. Why did they miss the will of God? Well, let me say, if you look at verse number 9, first of all, they missed it because they would not listen to the man of God. The Bible says, now when much time was spent, Acts 27, verse 9, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing of the ship, but also of our lives. Paul, the man of God, comes to these men. Paul was not trying to oversee their lives. It wasn't that Paul had the attitude that he knew more than they did. Paul just simply came to them and said, look, God has spoken to me. God has told me that. And I believe Paul did it with humility. And certainly we need more of that in the pulpit. But Paul comes to them and he says, look, if you take this voyage, I'm telling you, God has told me that there's going to be a lot of harm and a lot of damage, not only to the ship, but also to our lives. These people missed the will of God very simply because they didn't listen to the man of God. Now listen tonight, preachers do not know everything. Isn't that right? But I want to say tonight, listen, if you believe, listen, if preachers don't know everything, but I want to say this, they do know some things. God, if He's going to speak, you check that book out. God always speaks through a man. Isn't that right? Brother, you go all the way back, as far back as you want to go. Every time God got ready to deliver a message, God always had a tool. He always had an instrument. God always had a voice, and that voice was a man of God. Isn't that right? And I want to say tonight, I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm not trying to act like that I'm on a different level than anybody else in this building. Listen, tonight I know that I am just as made of the same stuff that everybody else is made of. But I want to tell you tonight, God, if I didn't believe I was a man of God, I'd quit preaching tonight, amen. I'd quit preaching tonight. And again, I can't tell you the will of God. I can't come to you tonight and tell you everything about your life. In fact, I don't want to know everything about your life, nor would you want to know about mine. But I do believe God will give a man through that church discernment. He'll open his eyes to certain things as he needs it, when he needs it, and for what he needs it. And he'll show him things that not because he's great, just simply because he's the tool. He's the instrument. And here was the instrument that God was going to use in Acts 27. The tool in the hand of God was the Apostle Paul. And had they listened to the instrument that God was using, these men would have never gotten the message. Can I tell you tonight, I could give example of people tonight in the short time that I've been pastoring down through the years that I've sat down with and tried my very best to help them in love and in compassion. And Brother David, all the time in the back of my mind, not because I was anything great, but because God had already spoken and said, if they do this, they're going to shipwreck their life. But you know what? They wouldn't listen. Pastoring the church, let me say this tonight, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes it gets frustrating. Because you get to a place, sometimes you just get to a place where you don't even want to. I told my wife one time, I said, you know what, I'm not in the counseling business. Amen. I want to talk to people if they need help, but sometimes you get a place and you think, my goodness, folks come, and their mind's already made up when they come to you. They don't know what they're going to do. No matter how many verses of Scripture you know, no matter how much you quote, no matter what you say, their mind's made up. And I'm telling you, listen, people tonight, their lives are tore apart. Their lives have shipwrecked. It may cost me everything I got tonight to preach what I'm preaching, but as sure as I'm standing on a platform of wood, God, the Holy Ghost sealed this in my soul tonight. There may be somebody in this building ready to miss the will of God because you're not listening to what the preacher, the man of God, is saying. Let me remind you tonight that this is not Brother Rick doing the speaking. Amen. I'm telling you, I take seriously. I don't always do right. I'm not trying to act like that I'm super duper Christian. I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, I take very seriously preaching the Word of God. I want to preach what God says, when God says it. I don't want to say anything God don't want me to say. Amen. And tonight you got to listen. Look beyond this flesh. And hear the voice of God for crying out loud. You'll miss the will of God. They missed it because they didn't listen to the man of God. They missed it because they took counsel from someone else. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. You know what happens to people when they miss the will of God? They start listening to somebody else. They won't listen to their preacher, but they'll listen to people they work with. Now, I'm telling you, when you're taking advice from people you work with, you're in bad, bad trouble. When you go to work to find counsel, you say, well, I love this person. They got a great personality and everything's going good in their life. I'm telling you, friend, when your counsel is coming from somebody that you're working with, that may not even be saved, that may not even know God, you mark it down, you're going to miss the will of God. And I'm telling you tonight, listen, God don't speak. Listen, He uses a man. He uses a preacher. That's the tool, the instrument. You know what's amazing tonight? How you can preach one sermon and it'll reach out in someone. And I have no idea what may touch somebody's life. But it won't be what I say. It'll be God will take one little phrase and hang it in the heart of somebody and help them. But they miss the will of God because they started listening to somebody else. They start, and listen, you say, well, I'll tell you, I'm talking to somebody in the church. You better be careful about that. You better be careful about taking counsel from other church members. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like I need to come to you about it. That's wonderful. That's great. Just pray. God hadn't told you that. But I'm telling you this much. Listen, when it comes to the will of God, God ain't going to speak through your best friend. God ain't speaking. You say, well, my mom and dad's always give good advice, and that's wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with getting good advice, but you better be careful about people that's always passing their advice out to others. Amen. See, what I'm saying tonight, any preacher that's worth his salt does not always, he's not always just quick to throw something out there and give an answer. Amen. Missing the will of God because they took counsel from someone else. Then they miss the will of God because things got a little rough where they were at. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised, there's that advice again, to depart thence also. You know what the centurion did? He listened to the majority. The Bible said the more part advised. People started saying, I'll tell you what you need to do. We need to pull out of here. Things are starting to get rough. How many people have pulled out of church and left the will of God because things got rough? I'm telling you, when things get rough, it's not time to pull up stakes and leave. It's time to drop anchor and weather the storm out and stand still and just wait for God. But they said, you know what? If we'll pull out and go somewhere else, Brother Ernie, they said things are going to get a little bit better down the road. People miss the will of God when they leave because things get rough. I'm not talking about just church. Things get rough on your job and you leave your job. And God didn't tell you to leave your job, you miss the will of God. Things get rough in a marriage, people leave their marriage, they miss the will of God. Things get rough. I mean, in different areas of their life, it's so easy to just pull up anchor and sail off somewhere else and say, hey, it's got to be a little bit better somewhere else. I'm telling you, if you want to miss the will of God tonight, you just leave because things get rough. And you'll miss the will of God. And then I want to say they miss the will of God because they supposed. Look at verse 13, a dangerous thing. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Loosening thence. They missed the will of God because they supposed. Now I'm telling you tonight, assumption's one of the deadliest things in all of our lives. I mean, tonight I have missed the will of God before because I assumed this would be right. I assumed this would work out. I assumed this would be okay. If you want to miss the will of God, just start supposing some things. Friend, before you step out and before you set sail, before you take a voyage on some journey somewhere, you better know in the recesses of your soul that God has sealed something and God has made something very clear for your life. The will of God, never suppose anything. Well, I suppose I can make these payments. Well, I suppose this would work out. Well, I suppose that everything will be all right. Well, preacher, I've added everything up and I just believe it's all going to be okay. It's not going to work. You know, I heard a preacher say this one time, never forgot it. He said, a burden never constitutes a call. A lot of times preachers go to churches and preach and they'll tell people, well, I have a burden for this church, and that's great. But that doesn't mean it's the will of God. People go to a mission conference and thank God for getting your heart broken for missions. People just assume and they just suppose because they've got this burden, God's called them to some field of service. But that's not necessarily so. You see, burdens come and go. But the call and the will of God will remain when the burden's gone. Sometimes I don't have a burden to preach. Sometimes I don't have a burden to pastor. But the will of God. You know, I remember when I moved here, and I know this is hard for some of y'all to believe, but when I moved here, I didn't want to stay, Brother Charles. I wanted to go home. And for 6 to 8 months of my life, I wanted to go home. I loved this church and I loved these people. But I wanted to go home. Been there 25 years. And, or 20, that's not true. I don't know how old I was. How old was I when I come here? 23 years. 23. He's 78. He don't know. I shouldn't have said that. I've been there 23 years. My wife had been there almost 25 years. And you know what? I thought, man, I wanted to go home, brother. But every morning I got up and I went down there in that basement and opened my Bible. I sat down there in that study. It didn't matter if I opened Revelations or if I opened Genesis. The first thing the Holy Ghost would say to me every single morning, if you go home, you're out of my will. If you go home. That's the first thing God said to me. And this morning, I didn't even want to go down there and study. Because I knew if I opened to John 3:16, the Holy Ghost is going to say, you go home, you're out of my will. And I'm telling you, listen, the will of God will hold you. The will of God will stabilize you. The will of God will keep you going when your flesh says no. When everything else doesn't look right, the will of God will be your anchor. And I'll tell you, they miss the will of God because they suppose. And I want you to watch this tonight. What happened when they missed the will of God? You think about this now. Look at verse 14. Follow these verses here very quickly. Here's what happened when they missed the will of God. The first thing that happened was a storm arose in verse 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. You know what happens when you miss the will of God? Storms starts coming in your life. I mean, they did not know what was out there beyond the clear blue. People miss the will of God and get out of church or get out. You can get out of the will of God and be on the front row or second row. It doesn't matter. But when you miss the will of God and get out of the will of God, listen, storms comes. You say, well, preacher, storms come when you're in the will of God. Sure they do. But you check this story out real closely. When this storm come, those who were out of the will of God was falling all to pieces, and those that was out of the will of God had lost all hope, and those that were out of the will of God was doing everything within themselves to try to see themselves through the storm. But only one man was in the will of God, and that was the Apostle Paul. You know what Paul's doing while that storm's raging? Paul's talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, be of good cheer. Paul's saying, hey, we're going to get through this thing. You know what? Paul had direction. Paul had discernment. Paul had peace. You know why? Because he was in the will of God. When storms are going to come in every one of our life, and we know that tonight. But when they come, the anchor that will hold us, the anchor that will see us through the storm, the anchor that will give us full assurance when things are not going the way we want it, is the fact that we are in the will of God. Amen. A storm arose. Look at verse 15. When you miss the will of God, things get too hard to handle. When the ship was caught, look at this, and could not bear up into the wind. You know what happens when people miss the will of God? Things get too hard to handle. These guys couldn't handle this storm. Now, granted, they had sailed through a lot of storms, but they were no match for this storm. And God knew that, and that's why God told Paul to tell them, don't sail. Because things will be too hard for you. When you miss the will of God, things get too hard to handle. When you miss the will of God, things spin out of control. The Bible said in verse 15 that we let her drive. You know what that means? That means they just had to let go and hope for the best. They didn't have no idea where that storm was carrying them. They knew this much. They were getting off course. They knew they were going further away from their destination. When people miss the will of God, that always happens in their life. Listen, they just throw caution to the wind. They have no idea what they're doing or where they're going. That's why they always do things they said they never would do. That's why they always go places that they never said they would go. I can remember somebody come to me one time and said they were leaving, and I said this to them. I said, look, I really believe if you leave, you're going to leave out the will of God, and I love you, and there's no reason for you to have to leave. You don't have a Bible reason to leave, and there's no reason. But it was predetermined in her heart. No matter what I said to them. Brother Charles, I could have quoted every verse in the book. They were leaving. So what do you do, Brother Rick? You just try to love them. Hope that if one day they come to their senses. I don't make enemies with people. And when people leave, I want to keep as good a relationship as I can with them. But they left. But I did tell them this. I said, I want to tell you something now. If you leave, don't you, and I mean God, this lady is clear in my heart as I'm standing here. And I said, don't you go. And I named the very place, Brother Lady. I said, don't go there. I said, don't preach out the right kind of Bible. And they don't take the right stand. And you're going to wreck your life if you do. They said, oh, preacher, we're not going there. You know where they're at tonight? Exactly that place. And it's not that Brother Gravely's got great discernment. But it's not that Brother Gravely's stupid, neither. God will let you know things when you need to know, as you need to know, and for what you need to know. And you see, the storm arose. And then their life spun out of control. You notice when people miss the will of God, how things just go haywire in their life. And then secondly, look at verse number 16. When people miss the will of God, they shipwreck. I mean, shipwreck is certain. The Bible said they ran in under a certain island, which is called Claudia. And they had much work to come by the boat. Listen, when people miss the will of God, they've got more work to do than if they would have just listened. You know that? When people miss the will of God, they have to repair things in their life that they should have never had to go back and fix. I mean, there's things that fall apart spiritually. There's things that falls apart physically, financially. I mean, things fall apart in areas of their life that was once stable, that was once under control. Friend, every one of us tonight, listen, none of us are exempt from this. If I was to get out of the will of God, the first thing that would happen in my life is things would begin to fall apart. Amen. The will of God pulls everything together. The will of God holds everything together. And many people have shipwrecked their life because they missed the will of God. I want to say this tonight. If you're here and you're faced with some critical decision, you should sincerely pray and seek God's face about it. No matter what that decision is. Because that decision could be the decision that shipwrecks your life. That's the way every decision should be made in our life. Big or small. That decision is so crucial. It could shipwreck my life if I miss it. Then I want to say also tonight, when people miss the will of God, they try to fix things themselves. Verse 17 says, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand. You know what these guys were doing? Everything within themselves to pull themselves back on course. All of it to no avail. When people miss the will of God, they do everything they can to fix it within themselves. Listen, they fear because their life's about to fall apart. That's what they said in verse 17, that they should fall into the quicksand. You know, the devil's got quicksand for every one of us tonight. The devil's got snares, and he's doing everything within his power to try to disrupt our lives, to distract us, to get us off course, to mess our life up. Missing the will of God. Then let me say in verse number 18, when you miss the will of God, there's no stability in your life. Look at what they said. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Man, I mean, these guys are in a storm that has picked them up and turned their world upside down. Think about it. These guys knew how to weather storms. These guys knew how to handle storms. They knew the course. They knew how to sail from one place to the other. But this storm is so great, the Bible says it just their life is out of control. I'm saying when you miss the will of God, there is absolutely no stability in your life. When you miss the will of God, watch this, verse 18. They throw away valuable things. Boy, this is a point every person ought to get a hold of tonight. The Bible said in verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day, watch this, they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship. You know what they did? They threw away, Brother Hale, they threw away the things that they really needed. They threw away things they had invested money into. They threw away things that kept them, kept them alive. Their livelihood, they tossed it all out the window. You know, that's what happens to people when they miss the will of God. They'll throw away everything valuable in their life. I mean, people, when they miss the will of God, many times they'll miss the will of God. And hey, you say, well, preacher, what happens? When you miss the will of God, listen, friend, it not only affects you, but it affects your spouse. It affects your children. It affects your church. It affects everybody around you, missing the will of God. And you know what? There's been people tonight. Lot, he lost his children, didn't he? Because he missed the will of God. He lost his wife because he missed the will of God. They throw away valuable things. Then when you miss the will of God, you feel like quitting. Look at verse 20. The Bible said, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. When people miss the will of God, here's what the final result is. They just quit. They just throw in the towel. You see, tonight the devil would put pressure on every single one of us to quit if he could do it. I mean, tonight there's pressure. It doesn't matter from the pulpit to the pew. The devil wants us to quit. He wants that wife to throw the towel in. He wants that husband to throw the towel in. He wants those children to quit serving God. He wants that preacher to quit. He wants them Sunday school teachers to quit. I'm telling you, the devil wants every one of us to quit. And do you understand tonight that when we miss the will of God, the only safety we have is in God's will. And when we miss the will of God, here's what happened. When pressure starts mounting upon us, and we start throwing away everything valuable in our life. I've seen people, and you have too, when they miss the will of God, they'll throw out convictions they've had for years. They'll throw out, listen, a good church. They'll get away from the Bible. They'll throw out their prayer life. They're casting away all the valuable things. And the storm, the whole time while they're doing that, the storm is just repeatedly raging and beating upon their life. And they get to the place where they think, oh, what's the use? Why go to church anymore? I mean, why really try to live right? Why try to do right? What does it really matter? And then they quit, friend. They quit. They quit. If you could really examine their life, nobody just gets up one morning and says, hey, I'm quitting on God. No. It's a series of decisions. Till one day you get to a place where you say, you know what, I can't handle it no more. Or you know what, it don't matter no more. You dry up just slowly on God. And here's what happened to these men. They thought it was all over. But oh, I want to say this, thank God tonight. Read one more verse. But after a long absence, hallelujah, the Bible says that Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Paul was a great preacher. Because Paul was a man that loved people. Paul could have looked at this outfit and said, hey, every one of y'all are going to die out here because you didn't listen to me. Paul could have listened, boasted, and told them, said, fellas, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. He did say to them, sirs, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. You wouldn't be in this mess you're in had you only listened. But you know what? Paul, after making that statement, he says, but I want you to be of good cheer. He said, I know y'all are worried. He said, but I've just got through talking to God about this thing. And he said, there's not going to be any loss of any man's life. He said, God's going to take care of us. God's going to, oh, thank God. Listen, there's been times in my life that I would have surely missed the will of God had it not been for a preacher. You know that? I don't tell you, I don't know about some people. I hear some people talk, and maybe that's so. I mean, I hear people talk as though, listen, they're the only one that ever finds the will of God for themselves. And I understand that we're the only ones that truly know that. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight, folks. There's times I've come to church, and I was so backslid in my heart on God, and I didn't even realize that I was backslid. I didn't even realize I got cold and indifferent. I thought everybody else was the problem the whole time. The problem was me, and God raised a preacher up, and there was things going wrong in my life. And I couldn't figure out why my whole world was spinning out of control. I couldn't figure out why everything was going upside down. And God used a preacher, amen, to deliver the message, to bring me back to the place. I thank God for preaching, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember one night I fell in an altar. I'm going to say, I'm just speaking out of my soul, but I'll tell you something. If you're out of the will of God tonight, the first step to getting back in the will of God is just admitting you missed it. You just got to admit you missed it. You know, it's not easy. But if you want help, you have to come clean. One time I said, God called me to do something. You know something, Brother Charles? God gets blamed for more stuff he ain't got nothing to do with anybody I know. That's truth. I'm serious. And I said, God called me to do something. And God didn't call me to do that. And it was a field of service. And I waited and waited and waited for a little while, and nothing happened. And you know what? I was praying. I was trying to pray. Now, Lord, you're going to have to do something here. And I remember just as clear as God saved me, God spoke to my heart and said, I didn't tell you to do that. And you're going to have to stand up and say and let everybody know I hadn't called you to do that. You say, well, I wouldn't. That's the only way for me it's going to work. And I don't think I'd be here had I not stood up on that Wednesday night and said, you know what? I missed the will of God. I missed it. Tonight, listen, you have to swallow a lot of pride sometimes, don't you? If you miss the will of God, just admit it. You might have to set your husband down, wife, and say, you know what? I missed the Lord's will about something. Husband, you may have to set your wife down and say, guess what? I missed the Lord's will. You may have to set your children down. I don't know. It may be something you can determine in your soul tonight. But missing the will of God is a very critical thing. And tonight I want to say this, that you've got to be careful. Listen to the man of God. That's what they did. Yep. Stop whatever it is you're doing. If you're going in the wrong direction with God, stop it. You say, where's that in the Bible? Look at verse 29. The fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They said, let's throw some anchors down. Let's stop this thing. And I'm telling you, if you're going down the wrong direction tonight in the will of God, if you're missing the will of God, drop some anchors. Stop what you're doing. Just wait on God. And then tonight I want to say this in closing. If you'll stay put and wait for clear direction, God will always give it. He said in verse number 31, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now here's what God said. If you'll just stay in the ship, if you'll just stay put, the Lord said, I'll take care of you. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We have to just stay put. And I want to say this tonight as they come, prepare a song. I went home this afternoon, and again, I want to say this as a, I don't know always what God is doing. But I left this afternoon, I left church, felt great for church. I had a great service this morning. When I got a car started down the road, I mean, God immediately started working in my heart. And I just feel a heaviness in my heart about this church. And I don't know what it's about, Brother Charles. I really don't. But I want to say this. I read that one verse that really stuck out in my mind. The Bible said when they supposed him because the south wind blew softly. Just because things are blowing softly in this church, we have to be real careful, don't we, tonight? A preacher wouldn't be much of a pastor. He doesn't know everything, but he has to be that watchman. And being a watchman is just simply, you know what being a watchman is? It's just sitting on a wall, looking, watching, looking for the enemy, seeing danger out there yonder somewheres. And when danger starts getting a little bit closer, you know what that watchman does? He just blows that trumpet, sounds that alarm, and that tells everybody, you better be careful. There's something out there. It's coming this way. And I think sometimes that's the way it is in pastoring a church. I don't always know. And we don't always know what lies ahead. But you can rest assured God will put it in your heart sometimes and say, hey, you better send a warning out. Somebody may be fixing to shipwreck their life. I don't know who that would be tonight. May not be anybody in this building. Maybe some that should have been here that wasn't. You know that? But I have a hard time believing God would lay a message on my heart to preach in vain tonight. I want you to closely examine your life. And tonight, between you and the Lord and no one else, I want you to ask yourself, are you in the will of God? Are you in the will of God? And I want you to ask yourself this tonight, if you are in the will of God, are you doing the will of God tonight? As we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, that decision you have to make this week, or that you're thinking about making, have you prayed about it? Have you sought the Lord about it? Have you really sought the Lord about it? Do you know His will? Don't ever make a decision without the leadership of God, it doesn't matter how big or small, and it never hurts to just wait. Just wait. If you're trying to do something and you don't know if it's God's will, throw an anchor down and stop. And just wait. I grant you, in God's time, He will make it clear, make it plain, make it right. Think about it. Don't throw away the valuable things in your life. You get yourself in a mess, you get yourself in a storm, and things start spinning out of control. You can ask this fellow leading the singing tonight, and he don't mind me saying that. Things get out of control in your life. And friend, you'll wear scars the rest of your days. The rest of your days. Listen to the man of God. It's not that Brother Gravely knows everything, by no means. I'm telling you, there's some things I got on my knees this evening. I said, oh God, please, I've got to have some answers. I don't know what to do. I just want to know your perfect will. And I don't want to do the wrong thing. But I'll tell you this much. There's times I've stood and preached in this pulpit, and I knew in the back of my mind God was touching me. But I knew the whole time, Brother Charles, I knew good and well. It wasn't because of anything I'd done. Just pure mercy of God had rolled His blessings out. And I have missed the will of God. And I paid for it. And I tell you, if I could go back and redo some things, I'd redo them tonight. I wonder tonight, while we sing this, he or maybe somebody else needs to come. You mind the will of, you mind the Lord tonight and do what He wants you to do. That's right.